William, how old are you?
12.
How many times have you been here in children's court?
Oh, a couple.
5, to be exact.
Yes, sir.
From the time you were 6, you've been running away from home. And now, look how we find you, begging.
I was hungry.
Well, that's not the point, William. Don't you understand?
No, sir.
Your father claims you've been stealing from him. And your mother tells us you're unmanageable. Is that true? I know it's hard for you to believe, William, that I am placed here to help you. Won't you tell me why you do these things?
Living 1949, brought to you each week by NBC and its affiliated stations, holds up its radio mirror in this spring planting season to reflect an activity that concerns our future harvest of citizens, the nurturing of children for their own and the nation's welfare in foster homes, in a drama document entitled
Transplanted Children.
Your narrator, Ben Grauer.
Greetings, America. It can be stated bluntly, there's no substitute for family life. At the same time, the popular remark,
there's no place like home,
often leaves a bad taste in the mouth. For a home resounding with discord, a home burdened with illness, a home where parents and child just don't get along, may make the place called home anything but ideal. When this is the case, sometimes a community, sometimes a government, sometimes a private agency seeks to substitute for the child concerned, and they hope temporarily, another home, different parents. At best, this is second best. But so far, it's the best answer we've found. That you may know the reasons behind and the need for and the significance of foster care and be moved to do whatever you can to help, we of Living 1949 present now an actual case history. One out of 225,000 that are today in the making. The transplanting of 12-year-old Bill Davis.
William, I could send you away. Perhaps commit you to a school for problem children, as your father seems to wish. But I personally don't believe that's the answer. Instead, I've asked your parents to give me permission to refer you to the psychiatrist attached to this court. Do you know what a psychiatrist is, William?
No, sir.
Well, she's a lady who's going to ask you some questions that will help us help you.
My name is Carrie Wilson. I'm a social worker. I've been with this one agency for about 12 years. The psychiatrist's report on William Davis said,
intelligence normal, serious incompetence of parents, child badly adjusted because of bad home environment. Foster care indicated if child is not to become delinquent.
It was then that the case came to our agency and was assigned to me. I read through the record on the child.
Name?
William Davis.
Address?
13 River Street.
Parents?
Ethel Margaret.
And George John.
I decided to visit this home and see for myself.
I'm Willie's father, and I'm not proud of it. He's no good, I tell you. He's no damn good.
Oh, George, George. Talk like that. This woman's a lady.
What I say? All I say is no damn good, and he is no damn good.
You see, I can't do nothing with the boy. Father's always drunk and beating on him.
Who's drunk? A couple of beers. Besides, it's your fault, nobody else. It's your job to look after the kid.
How can I look after him? You're drunk all the time, and I have to look after you.
Oh, send him away. Teach him a lesson.
Maybe it would be better for him to go away. I don't know what to do. I can't manage him myself.
Reform school, that's what.
I try, but he always runs away. I got more trouble than I can handle, lady.
Well, would you consider placing him with foster parents, Mrs. Davis, in another home?
Anything. Anything.
was when we saw in the paper how they needed foster parents that we first got the idea. You know, 20 years is a long time to live without children, especially when you always wanted them real bad. So we talked it over, John and I, and filled out one of their forms.
Application for foster parenthood. Name?
Mr. and Mrs. John Fowler.
Address?
144 Woodley Road, Greenville.
Occupation? Husband?
A cabinet maker.
Wife?
Housewife.
Children?
None.
None.
We had to wait a while. They had to investigate us, but then one day we heard we'd been selected as foster parents for William Davis. And Miss Wilson from the agency came out to the house and spent the whole evening talking to us about it. More tea, Miss Wilson?
No, thanks, Mrs. Fowler. I think I'd better be going now.
Tomorrow at 6, then?
Tomorrow at 6. Now, you're sure you feel ready?
Ready? I've been ready for a child for over 20 years, Miss Wilson.
Remember, William's different from other children. Because of his home environment, because of his shortcomings, he feels unloved and unwanted by his parents. And that makes it hard for him to believe that anyone else will love him.
We know.
Raising just any child presents problems, Mrs. Fowler, but you've got to be prepared for William to double the dose. And you can expect him to feel very strange here at first.
We'll feel strange ourselves, Miss Wilson. But you can be sure we'll treat him like the son we always wanted, but just never...
Never got till now.
Tomorrow at 6 then.
Get told you couldn't live with your mother and father anymore, and they're going to give you to a new mother and father? That's what they told me. I told them right back I knew why, too. They don't want me.
It isn't that, Bill.
They don't like me. They don't want me. I always knew it.
No, Bill, no. It's only that your parents agree that maybe you'll be happier.
I hate them.
Now, Bill, we can understand why you think your parents have let you down. But they want things to be right for you, and perhaps after a short stay with the Fowlers, things will straighten out at home, and...
I wish I was grown up. I'd show them. I'd go where I want to and do what I want
to. That's exactly where your foster parents may help you, Bill. To grow up to be the kind of man you want to be. Did you know that Mr. Fowler had a cabinet shop?
What's that?
A woodworking place where you can make things. Boats, toys, whatever you want.
Can you make a gun there? A machine gun?
Well, suppose we talk about it tonight, when you meet them, huh?
Okay. Okay.
I'll never forget the first night, the night that William was brought to our house. We couldn't help being a bit nervous, and there was no question about him being, well, sort of sensitive to it all. Between us, we almost made a mess of things.
Would you like a glass of milk, William?
No, ma'am.
Cookies?
Cookies are for kids.
Oh, sorry.
Well, maybe you'd like to go for a ride. We could drive Miss Wilson home.
Nope.
Is there anything?
Yeah. I'd like a machine gun.
Bill means that he'd like to see your woodworking shop and perhaps make something in it, Mr. Fowler.
Oh, I see.
But I think it would be best right now if he got to bed early, since he's got to go to school tomorrow.
It's only two blocks up the street, William.
I hate school.
Well, I guess that's natural. I couldn't stand school myself at first when I was a kid. Played hooky once, too, and got the darndest spanking ever in my life.
You did?
Sure did. Come on upstairs to bed, and I'll show you a picture of that school I went to. Just a one-room schoolhouse.
Did the spanking hurt much? How'd you like to be practicing basketball shots at recess and have some new guy come up to you and want to shoot at the basket, too? Especially that guy. The one they've taken away from his folks and given to old man Fowler up the road. Like I heard my father tell. I told him off. Go on, scram. We don't want you in the game.
I got a right to play if I want to.
Oh, yeah? We don't have to play with no criminals.
Who's a criminal?
You are. Even your folks don't want you.
That's not true.
Beat it.
Okay, I'll beat it all right, but I'm taking the ball with me.
Then, what do you know? He grabbed the ball right out of my hands and ran up the street. Hey! Hey, come back with that ball! Teacher! Teacher!
I'm Officer Lane. I've been walking a beat long enough to know that when you see a kid on the street, that's not his street, after dark and all by himself. Doesn't hurt none to stop him and ask some questions. So even before I got wind to keep my eyes open when I saw this kid, I stopped him.
Hey, you.
Yes, sir?
Where do you think you're going?
Nowhere.
You don't live here, do you?
No, sir.
Visiting somebody?
No, sir.
What are you doing with that basketball this time of the night?
Well, it's the school.
Well, now, don't tell me you're playing a night game.
No, sir. It's just,
I guess you better come down to the station with me.
I was awfully glad when the doorbell rang. Ever since the police had called, I was waiting for it.
William.
Hello.
I guess you'll be okay now, ma'am.
Well, thank you, officer. Thank you.
All right. Good night.
Come in. Come in, my boy. My, but you had us worried.
We certainly are glad to see you, son.
Well, I'm ready.
Ready for what, William?
My whipping?
Oh,
no.
No, son, we aren't planning anything like that. You did what you thought you needed to do. Now you're back, and we're thankful. Let's forget about it.
You mean it? But I always get it.
Come into the kitchen, son. I've kept your dinner warm for you.
It was after that that Bill started to call us Auntie and Uncle. But that was only the first of our problems with Bill, the running away business. The next one came to us by way of his school teacher.
It isn't that he's not a bright child, Mr. Fowler. Simply that he's fallen behind as a result of his, well, his truancy and so on. If he doesn't put out more effort to catch up, well, I'm afraid we'll have to keep him back a year. It's up to William himself.
Of course, our relatives lost no time in letting us know what they thought.
I'm Mr. Fowler's cousin. I told him a thing or two when I heard what was going on. John, I said, you've just gone and taken on a lot of trouble for yourself. You can't make a rose bush out of poison ivy.
We went to work on both problems, John and I together. And one of the first things we learned about William was that he was a good swimmer. Seems like he used to spend a lot of his time along the river in the summer when he had those spells away from home. So John took him out a membership in the YMCA where they had a pool. Here he met his schoolmates on a more equal footing. And it wasn't long before...
Bill in, Mrs. Fowler?
Yes, I think he's up in his room.
Well, I was wondering, would he like to go down to the Y a little early today?
Well, I don't know.
I'd like him to teach me that funny crawl of his. Oh, gee, can he go?
Well, just a minute, I'll call him and see. William! William!
Gee, I'll never get it, Auntie. I'm just no good at English.
Oh, it's not hard at all, Bill. The difference between sit and set is easy. You don't say, set down, Henry. That's wrong. People sit.
Uh-huh.
The only things that set are hens and the sun. Now, let's try it again. William's schoolwork picked up, and he managed to squeeze through that school year all right. But then came the problems that come with summer vacation. Loose again, not knowing how to pass the time, he seemed to want to do things he shouldn't, like driving a car when he was still underage. Officer Lane told us of catching him at it with an older friend of his, or hanging around that bowling alley downtown. We had a talk with Miss Wilson about it.
Why don't you find him some kind of paying job, Mrs. Fowler?
But he's too young to be allowed to work.
Not to help your husband around the shop.
Do you think, why don't you ask?
When Mother told me what Miss Wilson had suggested, I put it up to William that night at dinner. No more potatoes, thanks, Mother.
William?
You bet, thanks.
Son?
Yes, sir?
Could you use some spare cash, do you suppose?
Gee, I'll say. I've been needing some.
How'd you like a job, a steady job, and keep what you earn for yourself?
All of it?
All of it.
Where?
With me, at the shop. You haven't been busy down there since you made that machine gun when you first came. Of course, I can't make a living selling wooden machine guns, but if you're willing to pitch in on an order that I got from the library for some long reading tables...
Gosh, I may not be so good at English, but I bet you I can help make good tables to read it on. When do we start?
We began the next day, and I must admit, Bill surprised me.
How's this, Uncle John?
Why, Bill, that isn't half bad.
It isn't, huh?
You keep it up and you'll be a cabinet maker someday.
Cabinet maker? Who wants to be a cabinet maker? I want to join the Navy and see the world.
Oh? Well, your sea legs can come later. Right now, let's get to those table legs.
Parents are permitted and encouraged to visit their children in their foster home. Bill's father never once paid him a visit, as he put it to me.
We wasn't good enough for him, was we? Well, if we wasn't good enough for him then, we're not good enough for him now.
Bill's mother didn't visit him for the first 6 months. When she finally did, she spent most of the time embarrassing her son.
Oh, Pa's terrible when he's carrying a load in his collar. Real terrible. Smashed a whole new set of dishes one day he was so drunk. Ain't that right, Willie?
I guess so.
But I wonder if you'd care for...
I can't do a thing with him, ma'am. Not a thing. Only yesterday, he hit me with a dinner pail just because I...
After that, she dropped in once in a while and then stopped coming altogether. So, one by one, the years went by. Bill's only connection with his real parents was a dutiful gift or two from them at Christmas time. On the other hand, his adjustment to his foster parents, while encouraging, still seemed tentative, insecure. For he still felt insecure within himself. So did he come to his 17th birthday.
Gosh, a football. A real football. You shouldn't have done it.
It was Uncle John's idea, Bill.
I figured we could practice together, you and I. I used to be quite a player in my day. Who knows? You might get to run circles around me if you try.
Bill tried, all right. All that summer long, while it was still light after work at the shop. Oh, yes, Bill still held on to his job. Uncle John coached him in the vacant lot close by the house, where he'd rigged up goal posts and a tackling dummy for his foster son.
Hit him hard, Bill. Harder. And move him faster, faster. Up now, let's try it again.
It didn't seem long until the action was transferred to the gridiron of Bill's high school. Bill's football proficiency made him a hero, but it didn't make him any better student than he was in grammar school. This was a little sad when it came to the ambition his foster parents had for him.
Then you don't think college is for Bill, Miss Wilson?
Do you? Honestly?
Well, we'd always hope...
I know, but what about Bill himself? As far as I can tell, the only future he's really interested in is the Navy.
I suppose you're right. If it wasn't college, I'd always hope maybe the shop...
I wouldn't count on it, Mr. Fowler. Remember, we all have no further responsibility for Bill after he's 18. He's free to go anywhere or do anything he wants to, even go home if he chooses. Then came the blow. The blow that brought everything to a head. The blow that was the real test of Bill Davis. And, in a sense, of our whole foster parent idea.
I was John Fowler's doctor. I remember after I examined him at the hospital that time...
How is he, doctor?
He's sleeping now. Your father's a very sick man, my boy.
You mean...
I didn't want to tell your mother, but... one of you ought to know, and... I guess maybe you're old enough.
Me? You see, I'm not really his son, you know. I'm just...
Well, whatever the circumstances, you're the man of the house now, and I'm afraid you're going to have to take hold.
How long do you think he is?
I would guess not more than 6 weeks.
What do you mean, take hold? For always? I don't want that responsibility. I like Uncle John, but after all, he's only my foster father. The court gave me to him. I didn't choose him. I'll be 18 and free in a little while. What about my own parents? Supposing when this happens, they want me back. Should I go? And Annie, what about her? After she's been good to me and everything for me to... Oh, I don't know what's going to happen.
After the funeral, I met with Mrs. Fowler and Bill as planned to discuss the future. As I see it, Bill, there are two alternatives. Since you're not quite 18, we can place you in a new foster home.
Oh, no.
Or you can go back home, where I believe you'll find the situation somewhat improved.
Or?
Yes, Mrs. Fowler?
Or Bill can stay on, right here.
Why, yes, of course. I'm sorry, Mrs. Fowler. I thought...
John always hoped that Bill would stay here, take over the shop. I don't want Bill to feel that he's obligated to stay. But I want you to know, Bill, that I've come to feel that you belong here. If you decide to stay and make this your home, you're welcome, and I'd be happy for your company.
Well, Bill, I guess it's up to you. What do you think?
I don't know.
Hello, Ma.
Oh, Willie. Pa?
Huh?
Pa, come look, it's Willie.
So it's you.
Hello, Pa.
Come home, eh?
Well, sort of.
Sit down, Willie, sit down. Doctor won't let your pa drink no more, Willie, because of his heart. Dangerous for him, he said.
Ain't touched a drop in 3 months. Hey, you're a pretty big fella, ain't you?
He was big. Different. We talked a long while. It wasn't always easy to find things to talk about. He'd been away so long, but it gave me a good feeling, because somehow Bill seemed grown up now and strong. When he first come in, he had a kind of worried look around his eyes, but gradually it went away, and then he said something. I didn't understand why, but I could tell he meant it.
Mom, you helped me tonight. I want to thank you very, very much. Hello, Auntie.
Bill.
Here, let me have that space.
Oh, I was just digging up a bed for my petunias.
That's man's work.
Did you see your father and mother?
I saw them. We understand each other.
Yes, Bill.
The way I see it, Auntie, this is where I belong.
You mean you...
Auntie, I've come home.
So ends the story of the transplanting of Bill Davis. So, through foster parent care, was a child saved from delinquency and society won a useful citizen. Sometimes foster care is a temporary measure. The child is able to return to his own parents or leave the foster home better equipped to face the world. But whatever the case, the fact remains that in this modern day and age, in living 1949, there is no facsimile for the right kind of family environment to nurture the seed of the nation's future strength. Therefore, facing all of us today is, first, the challenge to make our own home the kind of home to serve this end. Second, the duty to see that our community has the facilities to discover and help those youngsters who need foster care. And finally, the generosity to open our hearts and our hopes when called upon. In the spirit of Christ, who said,
"Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God."
Living 1949 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC special program staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Lou Hazen writes the scripts. Music is composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. This program is directed by Jack Cuney. To Sheltering Arms Children's Service, our thanks for assistance today. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1949 by listening next week to our regular drama document. ¶¶ Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.